So my name's Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 21st of August, 2009, and the time is 8:15 a.m. If I could ask you to tell us your name, your age, and where you come from, please.
My name is Robin Mitchell. My age is 46, and I come from a village in Midlothian in Scotland called Temple.
Okay, thank you. Can you tell us when it was you first found out about the One Another Project?
It is a gentleman I've been working with on several projects. He told me about it initially, and it sounded great. He suggested that maybe I should apply, so found the website, applied, and delighted to be chosen, luckily chosen, I guess, on the second attempt.
And how did you feel when you received the email to say that you'd been allocated a slot?
I think initially I was a little bit shocked. I think at that point you think, oh, what have I done? Why did I sign up to this? And what am I going to do? That was the initial reaction. And then it just takes a little bit of time to sink in, and then you start to formulate your plans and think about what the space is and what you should do. And I'm glad I did have the time to prepare.
So can you tell us, for the record, what it is you're wearing, what you look like, and what you're going to be doing for the hour on the plinth?
Well, I'm presently wearing a dinner suit with my face is completely white and white makeup. My hair's all gelled back. I have a cloak that might be similar to something Count Dracula, I suppose, would wear. And this is the guise of a character called Adam Lyle, deceased, who was a Edinburgh character, highway robber, who was executed in 1811. And this is a character we found in the library in Edinburgh because we were looking for someone to conduct our walking tours in the city. And it sounded like quite an interesting name, Adam Lyle. It wasn't a traditional Scots name. And the other thing was he hadn't been too bad. He'd been a kind of lovable rogue as far as we could see, a highway robber. Maybe the person being robbed would think otherwise. But, you know, he wasn't a murderer or anything like that. So we thought he would be very good to lead the walking tours that we do in Edinburgh. And we've been doing that for 25 years now.
And can you tell us more about the role that you play within the setup of these walking tours and yeah, kind of your story as to how that came about?
Well, I started the walking tours in 1984 with my then business partner, Colin McPhail. And it was just a couple of young lads looking for something to do, didn't really want to get the regular 9-to-5. And this idea came up to do walking tours. And initially we just did fairly straightforward trips down the Royal Mile in the first year. The second year we got some kilts on, smartened ourselves up a bit and extended the tours to different parts of Edinburgh. And then we met the owner of the Witchery restaurant, which is in the old town quite near Edinburgh Castle, James Thompson. And he said he'd quite like a tour starting from his restaurant on a kind of dark theme, because nearby was where many of Edinburgh's witches were executed. So we developed this tour called the Murder and Mystery Tour. And again, initially it was just the history, and then we thought, well, maybe we need to spice this up a bit. And so that's when Adam Lyle came into things. And then the next stage of it was characters, a second person in costume appearing en route, which we at the time called jumperouters. And it's basically one person who's always ahead of the group who has to get into the next costume and has to leap out on a queue line and, well, startle the people that are on the tour. And we were having so much fun when we started this that we thought that, oh yeah, we must keep doing it. And sure enough, the whole trip has developed.
So can you tell us what you're going to be doing for the duration of the hour?
Well, my plan, this is before the hour starts, so we just have the theory at the moment, but the idea is to do, the theme is 25 years of the Witchery tours. I'll do a couple of stories from the trips. I'll chat a bit about how the whole thing started up. I might do a little bit of Burns poetry because this year is the 250th anniversary of the birth of Robert Burns. And I brought my rat with me, who's actually called Anthony, named after the artist, And as soon as I step on the plinth at 9 o'clock, this rat will be on sale on eBay as Anthony the Plinth Rat, because in essence, the rat will then be part of the artwork.
Okay, thank you. How did you end up in Edinburgh?
I was born in a schoolhouse in Fife, quite near Cooper, and I worked in a hotel in London Links. It was called the Beach Hotel, and then it became the Old Manor Hotel. And I suppose I have a big thank you to say to the manager, a guy called Mr. Gourley at the time, and he said, you know, have you thought about going to college? And I hadn't really thought about going to college or university. He said, yeah, you know, maybe you could do catering or hotel management. So I got into Edinburgh to do a hotel management course. So that's what I studied for 3 years. And Colin McPhail, who was also on the hotel management course, was the guy that we started the tours with. So I don't know if it's logical or not to go from hotel management to ghostly guiding, I don't know. But that's how I got to Edinburgh. Best thing I ever did was to get into Edinburgh. Best thing at that time I ever did was to go to college and go through all those experiences. And yeah, it just opens up a wider world to you.
And how does it feel to have set up such a long-lasting and successful business and to kind of be responsible for that?
Well, I suppose I don't always remember. You're always kind of moving on to the next thing that you're going to be doing. But I'm very, very proud. Very proud to have started it or been around at the start. Proud that it's gone for 25 years. Love the development of the trips. Loved all the guys and girls that have come in to conduct the tours, because they bring part of themselves to the whole operation. And I think the tours at one point went from being quite serious, which didn't work for an hour and a half and didn't suit what we were, and it developed into more humorous, light-hearted. So, you know, if someone asked, you know, what are your tours about, you would say funny, scary, rather than scary, scary, and we're more comfortable with that. So I suppose a bit like the One Another project, the whole thing evolves, and you quite enjoy watching how it does.
And how does it feel for you to come down to Trafalgar Square off the back of the One Another project, to be able to stand on the plinth and to be able to celebrate the 25 years of the Witchery Tours?
Perfect. You guys came along at the right time. Absolutely perfect, because we were trying to think, what can we do for 25 years? Well, you can't top, I don't think, being on the plinth. It's a perfect place to celebrate our anniversary.
So tell us more about yourself then, so your background and what you got up to before you got involved with the tours, but also what do you do in your spare time over a weekend?
Well, before the tours, I lived in a place called Leven in Fife with my parents. And I suppose at school I was really interested in sports, played all the sports, loved cricket, which is great for a Scotsman. And my dad took us to cricket matches when we were really, really young, so we got hooked, took us down to test matches, and we absolutely loved it. I mean, you know, a sort of 8, 9, 10 year old going to a test match is just so, so exciting. So cricket's in my blood. Started working washing dishes in the hotel when I was about 13. Did that for, well, I suppose that was 4 or 5 years before going to college. So enjoyed a bit of the hotel business. And thinking back now, I suppose I always enjoyed theatre. You see, my dad was, before he became a teacher, was an actor, and my mum did stage management, and then they did kind of local operatic society stuff. So we were dragged to all those musicals and plays. So we were dragged down to the Royal Shakespeare Company in Stratford. And again, that gets into your blood. So obviously there's something there that really appealed to me. So younger age, played lots of sports, kind of stopped that when I arrived at college. My dad was an interesting character. He acted in the Byer Theatre in St Andrews for a while before becoming a full-time teacher. And prior to that, something he never ever talked about, he flew Lancaster bombers during the war. And about 10 years ago, I set up my camera and interviewed him, because he didn't talk about it. And absolutely fascinating, frightening. One particular story was that their plane was hit, they lost two engines, they had to get back to mainland England. And he arrived back, luckily. And the story he told was nothing about the plane being hit. His story was meeting one of the ground crew, and it was a guy called Rex Harrison, the actor. My dad was a big fan. This was the story. The story was getting the autograph of Rex Harrison. Nothing about the plane being hit, but, you know, I guess that's the era, you know. That's kind of what they talked about. So that's my dad. My mum, fascinating character, pretty much a housewife till about mid-40s. Then got a job in a pottery shop, was so interested, asked the potter if she could learn. She learned to be a potter, and by the end of her career she was teaching pottery at a college. So I think that's a great story as well, just going from interest and on to teaching something. So that's my parents, that's kind of my background, I think.
And what about you then? What do you get up to in your spare time? What are your interests other than the sport and the theatre and being working so involved with your business, with the tours? What do you do to relax?
Well, I've always treated the tours as, I haven't treated the tours as work. And the other projects I've been involved in with a guy called Jim Hickey, we've been doing some little film projects. So we've been doing some short films, some longer films. And again, I don't see that as work. I just see that as great pleasure. And I remember someone saying that, no, you know, you shouldn't differentiate between work and leisure. You know, life's life, and you should treat it as such. And I think that's how I try and lead my life, is that, you know, each day you're enjoying it, and I suppose it's a way of saying that pretty much what I do work-wise is comes into the leisure area as well.
So what's the best bit for you, or what are the best bits?
The best bits for me have always been, first of all, coming up with an idea and seeing it through to its conclusion. That's very important to me. I hate announcing something that I'm going to be doing and then it doesn't happen. I only feel I want to say that I'll be doing something if I know that I can get to the end of it. My best achievement maybe was writing a novel called Grave Robbers, because I don't read very much. Well, I don't read novels, and I'm not a very patient person at times, and I thought it'd be a great challenge to see if I could write a novel and get it published, which I managed to do. And it's quite funny reading the novel, because early on when you read it, you can see that the writing isn't as good as later on in the novel, because I'm kind of learning as I go. But that was great, because you said, probably challenges I really like, you know, set yourself a challenge and can you actually get there, and when you get there you're really pleased, and then move on to the next challenge. They can be really small challenges, but it's all part of life.
And how about the connection with the horror stroke humour? You mentioned the novel was called Grave Robbers as well. Is there a theme? Can you expand on your interest in that kind of area?
I suppose the novel probably came out of all the knowledge of all the tours that I did, so that's probably why the horror and the humour is there. So I've really got to thank the development of the tours in relation to and how the novel developed.
So what would you say are the most important things to you at the moment in your life?
The most important person in my life is my wife, Alison. That's all really that matters. The other most important thing, and something that I've been thinking about a lot, is your health. And have been doing a lot more walking of late, getting a bit healthier and losing a little bit of weight, and decided that health comes first and the rest can follow.
And what hopes and fears and plans do you have for the future?
I would like to continue as long as I can on the present road, because it's been a very interesting road, and because there have been many things that you could never have predicted. the One Another might be one of them. You know, I guess if I wasn't doing the tours, then perhaps I wouldn't have applied to One Another. I don't know. So you never know what's going to happen next. I'd like to continue along the same road, I think. And I don't tend to look too far ahead. I tend to wake up in the morning and think, well, I've got another chance at another day, because you just don't know what's going to happen. I cannot be one of those people with a 5-year plan or a 4-year plan or a 1-year plan. I think it's today's plan.
And how does it feel to be part of the One Another project, maybe walking towards the side? How does it feel to become a part of Trafalgar Square and to become a part of such a project, art project, become one of the statues on Trafalgar Square?
Oh, I'm really excited about being part of this project, because when I first read about it, I thought, I really like the idea. It's just a really good, simple idea. And having watched some of the plinthers, you see how it's all developed, and it's just so democratic. I just love the idea that someone can go up there and do anything that they want. The way it's been organized, with bringing people down from, you know, involving people from all regions, I think that's very, very good, very democratic. So yeah, I'm really excited about this, and I have been for it's taken over my life for the last week or so preparing. And like anything else, you want to try and do your best, and hopefully I'm prepared for today.
For the record, what emotions have you experienced from maybe applying in the first place, to finding out, to preparing, to travelling, to being here half an hour or three quarters of an hour before you go up?
I've been through many emotions. The first one, when finding out I'd been selected, was genuine shock. I've gone through a filtering emotion of it gradually going into my brain and trying to work out what it's all about, to being very nervous, to being excited. It's very challenging. I think you go through all the emotions. But I'm a great person for nerves. I don't like it when someone says that they're not nervous when they clearly are, because I feel that being nervous is a very positive, I've turned it into a positive thing, because I think it helps you, and it's just very human, it's part of you. So at this moment in time, before going up on the plinth, I'm very nervous, but I like the challenge of dealing with that, and hopefully once I'm up there, they'll maybe disappear.
Thank you very much.